As long as you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a king. Amen? You are a king. You know, some of us, we are walking around as if we are nothing. Some of us, we are walking around as if God doesn't love us, God doesn't care for us. When God has made you a king. He has made you a king. Jesus has made us kings and priests unto God. That's the first point I want to make. In Revelation 1, verses 5 and 6, the Word of God says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us," I love that, "unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Remember that. In his own blood. "And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father." Amen. So the first thing he did was to wash us from our sins in his own blood. Not cow blood, not sheep blood, not goat blood, not bird blood, but his own blood. Very important. "And has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father." Hallelujah. It says, "To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So, what we see from the text here is that God has made us kings. Now, whether you're a woman or you're a man, God has made you a king. Amen? And Jesus has made us kings and priests unto God. As kings, and look at this. As kings, we answer to Jesus, who is the King of Kings. He's the supreme king. And we are the under kings. We are below him. We serve as kings. And Jesus is Lord, supreme Lord of lords. Praise God. We are seated together with him in heavenly places. In other words, he's seated on his throne at the right hand of God. And positionally, from a spiritual point of view, we are seated together with Jesus in heavenly places. So we are reigning with him to a certain extent now. Amen? We are reigning with him to a certain extent now. Now, what that means is that all the principalities and all the powers, all the rulers of the darkness of this world, and all the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places is below us. We are above them in God's scheme of things. Amen? We are over them. And that is why Jesus is able to say to us, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and over every power of the enemy." And he said, "Nothing shall by any means hurt you." Why is it that we can tread upon serpents and upon scorpions? Because they are below us. They are below us positionally. Amen? So we can tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and over every power of the enemy. As priests. So we are kings and we are priests. Amen. This evening we're going into the community to pray and to praise God. Amen. And let me say this. We are going as kings. We are going as kings. We're going as persons who have authority and power from Jesus Christ. Let me say it again. We are going as persons who have authority and power from Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we are also going as priests. As priests. Hallelujah. As priests, we are to present sacrifices of praise and worship to Him. And that's what we just did in praise and worship. You all performed a wonderful priestly ministry during the service of worship. It was awesome. I heard people clapping. I heard people praising God. I heard people shouting unto God. And I said, praise God. That's a priestly ministry. We are called to be priests, and priests worship God. Priests praise God, and priests pray. They supplicate and they intercede. That's a priestly ministry. And it's very, very important. Amen? We are to pray, supplicate, intercede on His behalf. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, in Deuteronomy 17, verses 4 to 20. Now, we passed this in our Bible reading several weeks ago. And, it really touched my heart. And I was waiting on God, if God would have me to share on this. And so, I have the release this morning. It says, Deuteronomy 17, and it's entitled in my Bible, Guidelines for a King. That's us. That's us. Amen? Yes, it was speaking about both physical and spiritual kings. Same principles apply. Amen? So, he says, you are about to enter into the land the Lord your God is giving you. You are about to enter into the land the Lord your God is giving you. You know what I found in life as a Christian? That God is not a boring God. He's not a boring God. He's not a God that lacks new ideas. In fact, His purposes for each and every one of us lives have been laid out for all eternity. His purposes for our lives. Amen? And what I have found is that at various seasons in my life, God has a new phase for my life. He has a new phase for my life and for your life. And with this church, we are about to enter an era of the land, so to speak, that we have never entered before. And I believe that in your lives there is a new land. There's a new frontier that God has for each and every one of us. Every one of us. We must never get into a mode where we said, well, that's it. There is no more for my life in God. We must never get into that mode. Hallelujah. I'm trying to remember the words of one of the prophecies, but it really fits. There's a line from it that really fits what I just said. Don't forever one moment resign yourself to believe that you have seen everything that you need to see and there is no more that God has for you. That's not true. That's not true. Amen? I found that each layer is a step to the next layer. Praise God. And you must look at life like that. Praise God. And so, you know, the Bible says that eyes have not seen. Eyes have not seen. You see, they were getting ready to enter the land, but their eyes had never seen the land. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men the things God have in store for them. Praise God. Beloved, if you don't get anything else, please embrace this. God has a good plan for your life. Amen? And you must live your life with expectation. Live your life with expectation. Live your life believing that God is with you and that God has a wonderful plan and purpose for your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. So it says, you are about to enter into the land. I love that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I am excited about life because I sense that I'm about to enter the land. And I'm saying that you are about to enter the land. And listen, I'm not just talking about church. It can be with respect to your family. It can be respect to with your job. It can be with respect to your children. But God has a plan. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Each day, God has new things in store for us. Christianity is not boring. It's very exciting. Take it from me. I have been there and I have done that. I have been there and I have done that. If I were to tell you some of the things that I did, you would faint. I've been there and done that. And I'm telling you that there is nothing more exciting than serving Jesus Christ. There is more to serving Jesus Christ than just coming to church and singing choruses and read your Bible and clap your hand and go back home. Those things help you to access what God has for you. But they are not it, so to speak. Amen? And this is what Guidelines for a King is talking about. How to access the things that God has for us. Hallelujah. He has new challenges and new frontiers. He wants us to pursue. He wants us to go from glory to glory. Listen, man, Christianity is not static, you know. You get baptized, you dry off, and you sing, I've been to the river and I've been baptized. And that's it. He wants us to go from glory to glory. And when you reach glory, there's an X from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. However, our ability to access what God has for us is dependent on our obedience to His word. Amen. Let's get back to the scripture. It says, when you take it over and settle there, it says, you may think. Can you imagine that? God is going to lead them by His Spirit into the promised land, and He's saying, when you get into the promised land, instead of being led by me, you might begin to think out your future. You may begin to think what you can do for yourself without God's help and God's guidance. That's what he was saying. You may begin to think. But you know, God says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Amen. Your ways are not my ways. Amen. He said, you may think we should select a king to rule over us like the other nations around us. If this happens, be sure to select as king the man the Lord your God chooses. You know, as I read this, I said, you know, Moses was really connected to God, you know. He was really a prophet. You know what he was? He was seeing in the future that one day they would reject Samuel and ask for a king. And in rejecting Samuel, they were rejecting God. And that they would ask for a king. And so Moses, he was seen in the future by the Holy Spirit. He said, if this happens, be sure to select as king the man the Lord your God chooses. Now, I love Moses' spirit and his attitude as a prophet. He didn't say, thus said the Lord, it's going to happen that you're gonna choose a king. He said, if it happens. Amen. In other words, there's a time for humility as we practice the prophetic. There's a place for humility. Amen. He says, you must appoint a fellow Israelite. He may not be a foreigner. The king must not build up a large stable of horses for himself or send his people to Egypt to buy horses. The Lord has told you, you must never return to Egypt. The king must not take many wives for himself. Talking about guidelines for a king. Amen. Because they will turn his heart away from the Lord, and he must not accumulate large amounts of wealth in silver and gold for himself. In other words, he was saying that all these things have the potential of turning a king's heart from the Lord. Amen? And may I say, these things also have the potential of turning our hearts from God. Amen? So, listen to this. 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 26 to chapter 11 and verse 2. Solomon built up a huge force of chariots and horses. What did the word say? The king should not do that. Amen. Solomon, who was supposed to be the wisest man, Solomon, who, when God came to him and said, ask me for anything you want and I'll give it to you, Solomon said, I want wisdom. He didn't ask for riches. But later on in life, as he came into the land, the purpose that God had for him, his heart became polluted. So it says, Solomon built up a huge force of chariots and horses. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horses. He stationed some of them in the chariot cities and some near him in Jerusalem. He had so many, he had to build cities for them. Cities for horses, cities for chariots. But it was against the word of God. The king made silver as plentiful in Jerusalem as stone, and valuable cedar timber was as common as the sycamore fig trees that grow in the foothills of Judah. Solomon's horses were imported from Egypt. That again was against God's word. And from Cilicia, the king's traders acquired them from Cilicia at the standard price. At that time, chariots from Egypt could be purchased for 600 pieces of silver and horses for 150 pieces of silver. And he had silver as plentiful as Jerusalem stones. They were then exported to the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Aram. And then in 1 Kings 11 and verses 1 and 2, hear what it says. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women. That was forbidden. That was forbidden. Besides Pharaoh's daughter, he married women from Moab, Ammon, Edom, Sidon, and from among the Hittites. The Lord had clearly instructed the people of Israel. He had clearly instructed the people of Israel. You must not marry them, because they will turn your hearts to their gods. To their gods. And then hear what it says. It says, yet Solomon insisted. Let me say that again. Yet Solomon insisted on loving them anyway. Can you imagine that? He insisted on loving them anyway. Can I ask you a question? Is there something in your life that God has said you should not do, but you are insisting on doing it? If so, God is saying, repent. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You know, Matthew 6, 19 to 20, it says, don't keep hoarding for yourselves earthly treasures that can be stolen by thieves. Material wealth eventually rusts, decays, and loses its value. Instead, stockpile heavenly treasures for yourself that cannot be stolen and will never rust, decay, or lose their value. Praise God. Let me tell you, there is nothing wrong in having riches. Don't get me wrong. But you know what the Bible is saying? Don't let the riches have you. Don't let the riches have you. Nothing wrong in having riches. But when the riches have you, when the riches control you, when the riches are more important to you than God himself, you are in trouble. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in verse 18 going on, and this is so precious. In chapter 18 of Deuteronomy 17, it says, when he sits on the throne as king, when he sits on the throne as king, he must copy for himself this body of instruction on a scroll in the presence of the Levitical priests. In the presence of the Levitical priests. And to me, that speaks about accountability. He must copy for himself the body of instruction. That's the word of God. Amen? So to be a king, to be God's king, you must embrace the word of God. You must have a copy of the word of God. he must always keep that copy with him. Praise God. You know, from I give my heart to Jesus Christ, I always walk around with a Bible. I always have a Bible at hand. Very important. Some people think that you are going overboard because you have your Bible with you. But a king must always have a copy of the word with him. And it says, and read it daily. And read it daily. How many of us, as believers, we are reading the word of God daily? You see, let me tell you, if you want to have authority over the devil, if you want to come in to the inheritance that God has for you, you have to embrace God's word. You have to read God's word daily. Praise God. I remember I went to Miami on vacation, and thank God for my brother-in-law. You know, we left home, and we were halfway to Miami International Airport, and I found out that I forgot my Bible. You know what I did? I said, Brother Frank, could you turn around, please? He said, you might miss the plane. I said, I don't care. I am not leaving my Bible. And you know, he turned around. And we went back to the house. And we picked up the Bible. And God would have it, we caught the plane. But I'm not leaving my Bible. Now you might say, Pastor, that's going overboard. That's all right. I will go overboard for Jesus. I'm sure Jesus was not offended. So please don't be offended. Praise God. Amen. The word of God is important. It's important. It says, watch this. He must always keep that copy with him and read it daily as long as he lives. How long? As long as he lives. The devil will come to you and say, enough is enough. Every day you're just reading your Bible. Why don't you read the Gleaner? Why don't you read this? Why don't you read that? But the Bible says, the king should read the word every day as long as he lives. Praise God. Then it says, and this is getting even more beautiful, he says, that way he will learn to fear the Lord his God by obeying all the terms of these instructions and decrees. Isn't that awesome? Do you know why a lot of people not fearing God? Because they're not reading the word of God. You see, when you read the word of God, you fear God. You develop a fear of God inside of you when you read the word of God. Praise God. It says, this regular reading, I love that. It didn't say this irregular reading. It says this regular reading, praise God, will prevent him from becoming proud. Oh Lord, I love that. You know, sometimes we pray and we say, Lord, make me humble, make me humble. And we just want a supernatural touch and for us to just become humble. But the word here is saying that when we read the word regularly, it makes us humble. Amen. It makes us realize who God is and who we would be without God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me read that again. It says, this regular reading will prevent him from becoming proud and acting as if he's above his fellow citizens. Praise God. You know that the Bible says that we are no better than each other. In God's eyes, we are not better than each other. All of us are on the same level in God's eyes. Amen. Where did I get that from? The Word of God. The Word of God. If I had any kind of feeling inside of me because I have 3 university degrees and I have done this and I have done that and I am better than other people, the Word of God just humbled me down. You are not better than anybody else. Amen? Not better than anybody else. Praise God. Because Jesus died for all of us. Without Jesus, all of us gone to hell. Praise God. Amen. So, he says, and it will ensure, I love this, come on now. Those who have children, hear me now. Hear the word of God. Hallelujah. It says, and it will ensure that he and his descendants will reign for many generations in Israel. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? He and his descendants will reign for many generations in Israel. Amen. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Let me tell you, man, there is value added in reading the Word of God every day. And that's why in my own life, that's the first thing I do. When I wake up, I alarm the clock for 5 a.m. I pray, and I'm not trying to, you know, make myself look good spiritually, but I pray at least 1 to 1.5 hours from 5 to 6, 6:30. And then I read the word. I do my daily Bible reading. I read the word every morning. Every morning. And let me tell you, there is value added. There is value added in doing that. God loves it. Not only when I do it, but when you do it. When you do that, you have placed a priority on the things of God. You have put God first. You are saying, God, at the beginning of the day, I am coming to you. I am worshiping you. I am reading your word. And I'm leaving the rest of the day now into your hands. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, can I just read from the beginning of the sentence again? The verse 20, it says, this regular reading, I love that. Praise God. When I go to the gas station, I ask for premium gas, but regular here is better than premium. Amen? Praise God. This regular reading will prevent him from becoming proud and acting as if he's above his fellow citizens. It will also prevent him from turning away from these commands in the smallest way.